Today, more data, more risks of another rate rise. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that is post covering finance and property news. We've got a slew of data from the ABS today covering employment, job vacancies, and household spending. Now, we're going to examine each of those in turn, but the headline seems to me is that the employment looks stronger than last month. Job vacancies are still holding up, if it's slowing, and households are still spending more, including a significant amount on things they need to buy, but also on discretionary items too. So based on this and the inflation read that we covered yesterday, I think the RBA has more work to do. Although we should also note that we will get another month of data before the RBA meets again, and of course things may change. The ABS reported that the seasonally adjusted unemployment rate fell to 4.4% in May after a shockingly weak month last time. This series though does remain volatile, but the April numbers were probably messed up by the Easter holidays. There was a significant downturn revision to the previous month's employment growth too, which takes the gloss off this result, with employment's net growth effectively flat in the last 2 months, as reported by Alex Joyner at IFM. The ABS notes that over the past few months, we've recorded higher proportions of unemployed people waiting to start jobs who then remained unemployed in the following month. The backlog of people waiting to start a job eased in May, though, contributing to the 40,000-person rise in employment and the 18,000 fall in unemployed persons. As a result of all that, full-time employment grew by 5,000 people and part-time employment by 35,000. The underemployed rate rose 0.1 percentage points to 5.9% in May, and hours worked was down 1.1% in May, after a 0.9% rise last month. In April, less people took leave during the Easter holiday period and instead worked their usual hours, which contributed to non-seasonal strength in the hours worked. The fall this month brings hours worked back in line with employment growth since the end of the pandemic in June 2022. The seasonal unemployment varied significantly across the states, though, with the highest rate reported by Tasmania at 5.3%, followed by Victoria at 4.9%, Western Australia at 4.6%, New South Wales at 4.3%, and Queensland at 3.7%. So there is no sign of the employment market cracking, despite the RBA forecasting the need for higher unemployment ahead, and it hinted that that needed to rise because it needed to control inflation, which implies higher interest rates. We also got the latest ABS job vacancies today, and vacancies fell to 329,500 in May. That's according to new quarterly figures released by the ABS. Job vacancies fell by 2.1% in the 3 months to May 2026. That's the first drop in vacancies since August 2025. The ABS said the decline in job vacancies was widespread, with falls across the public and private sectors, as well as most states and industries. Shane Oliver, AMP, noted that job vacancies in Australia are down from their high, but they remain relatively high as a share of the labour force, although private surveys are not so strong and relative to unemployment. The financial and insurance services industries had the largest quarterly percentage drop, with a fall of 21.4%. Could that be AI related, I ask? This was followed by accommodation and food services, which was down by 16.1%. And the largest percentage rise in job vacancies was in manufacturing, up 16.9%, followed by information, media and telecommunications, up by 9.6%. Job vacancies fell in 7 of the 8 states and territories over the past 3 months, with Tasmania experiencing the only rise in vacancies at 1.2% higher. Victoria had the largest decrease, down by 8%, and was followed by South Australia, which fell by 6.5%. Job vacancies in the private sector decreased by 1.4%, or 4,000 vacancies in the 3 months to May 2026. At the same time, vacancies in the public sector fell by 7.9%, or 3,000. And changes, though, did vary significantly across the states, with Victoria, for example, seeing a 7.7% fall in private sector jobs, but a rise of 6.6% for the public sector, whereas New South Wales saw a 7.5% fall in public sector jobs and a 5.7% fall in the private sector. If you compare that to Queensland, who saw private sector jobs rising 6.6%, with a 0.5% rise in the public sector. Details of the total number of job vacancies available for immediate filing on the survey reference data is obtained on a quarterly basis from selected businesses, and data is collected via online electronic collection or telephone interviews. But from November 2023, the survey no longer includes micro-employers, those are businesses with less than five employees, in the direct collect component of the survey each quarter. Instead, the contribution of those units is accounted for through a model-based approach, so there could be some errors. And then we also got the latest household spending data using aggregated and de-identified card transaction data from banks, supermarket scanner data, and motor vehicle sales data from the Federal Chamber of Automotive Industries and the Electric Vehicle Council. Household spending rose 1.3% in May, according to the season-adjusted figures from the ABS. That follows a fall of 1.1% in April and a rise of 1.7% in March. The rise in household spending largely reversed what was seen in April, reflecting a lift across all nine spending categories. Annual household spending increased by 5.5% compared to May 2025, to be up from a 5.1% annual rise in April. Transport spending rose by 1.4% in May, after falling 4.7% in April. That was mostly due to travel-related refunds returning to normal after being significantly elevated in April due to flight cancellations associated with the Middle East conflict. Excluding air transport spending, which was impacted by travel-related refunds, total household spending would have risen 0.6%. Fuel spending remained elevated but is gradually easing from the peak observed in March as the impact of the halved fuel excise duty from the 1st of April continues to pass through to households. An experimental data produced by the ABS suggests that the volume of fuel spending decreased by 0.4% in May, following a 2.1% rise in April. And there were strong rises in household spending across discretionary categories, including hotels, cafes and restaurants at 1.9%, and clothing and footwear up 2.7%. The rise in spending at hotels, cafes and restaurants was driven primarily by catering services, including restaurant meals, takeouts and dine-outs, the ABS said. Demand was also likely supported by sporting and cultural events across Australia, alongside higher catering and hospitality prices. So you can see here the impact of the higher inflation we've been talking about. Clothing and footwear spending rose in May, following a fall in April, driven by discounting across mid-season clearance, stock take, and early end-of-financial-year sales events offered by retailers. There was a 1.1% rise in food spending, and that contributed to the May result, reversing an April fall due to higher grocery prices. Spending on goods, things like food, clothing and footwear, and goods for recreation and culture, rose 0.1% month-on-month to be 5.9% higher across the year. Household spending on services in season-adjusted terms rose 2.6% month-on-month, driven by increased spending on air passenger and sea transport, other services and catering services to be up 5.1% across the year. Discretionary household spending in season-adjusted terms rose 2.1% month-on-month, driven again by increased spending on air passenger and sea transport, other services and catering services to be up 5.6% across the year. And non-discretionary household spending in season-adjusted terms fell 0.2% month-on-month, driven by decreased spending on motoring goods to be up 5.2% across the year as those fuel prices fell. In season-adjusted terms, household spending increased for seven of the eight states and territories. The strongest increases were in Western Australia, up 2.6%, and the Northern Territories, up 2.1%, and Victoria, 1.7%. In Western Australia, the household spending categories that drove the rise in the month were transport, up 7%, alcoholic beverages and tobacco, up 2.4%, food, up 2.1%. In the Northern Territory, the household spending categories that drove the rise for the month were miscellaneous goods and services up 4.9%, hotels, cafes and restaurants at 3.5%, and food at 2.6% higher. And in Victoria, the household spending categories that drove the rise for the month were clothing and footwear at 3.5%, transport up 3%, and miscellaneous goods and services up 2.6%. So if you put these pieces of data together, I think we can say that unemployment is still tracking somewhat lower than might have been expected, which means that there is still room for the RBA to lift interest rates higher. Households are still spending, and in fact spending a little more than previously, which means, of course, that their inflationary rate of spending is driving significantly higher spend. And with regard to jobs, well, there are still jobs out there, even if in some cases they're a little bit less available. But in absolute sense, there are plenty of jobs too, which talks to the need to tighten things, which to my mind then says to the RBA, yes, it's time for another rate rise. So still, I think that is likely ahead. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.